Hello and welcome to another edition of TDWY Radio News. My name is Eric Cavanaugh, web editor for TDWY, and I'll be your host for today's conversation with Mr. Ivan Chong. Ivan is the Vice President of Product Marketing at Informatica, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about what's going on over there. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Ivan to give us the 60-second elevator pitch about what's going on at Informatica and why folks should be paying attention. Ivan, go ahead.
Hi, Eric. Thanks so much for having me on. I work at Informatica Corporation, and our corporate mission is to help enterprise customers implement a data services architecture so that they can gain the most business value from their data assets. The problem that we are really looking to solve for our customers and for companies that use the technology is that there's a lot of data fragmentation, and that's because data is tightly coupled with applications. And so with a data services layer, we feel that companies can derive the most value from their data assets.
Okay, good. I'd like to ask a few questions around the service-oriented architecture, or SOA, as a lot of folks talk about it. So maybe we'll start generically and then drill down a little bit. Theoretically, the fruition of SOA, as a lot of folks have talked about it, would result in much more seamless integration of the information architecture, and that would, at least on the surface level, seem to challenge Informatica's core revenue model, at least as it has stood over the past few years. How does Informatica view that? Is that sort of a combination opportunity and threat, or what's the Informatica strategy around SOA?
Well, we actually think that SOA is a driver for that will increase demand for Informatica's product offerings. So really, you know, when applications have a need to interoperate with each other, there are the protocols so that they can at least begin to coordinate processes, but there needs to be a fundamental understanding semantically of the data that all the applications need to deal with. And the semantic reconciliation of data is absolutely critical to have a true service-oriented architecture. And I think the best way to go over this is involving an example. Let's say you build an application. It's a call center application that uses information out of SAP. And then you decide that you want to acquire a company. That company has customer information in PeopleSoft. And so you need to combine both the SAP and the PeopleSoft data for your call center application. And the IT group says, well, we need an SOA. We need a service-oriented architecture so that we can have a common service for getting at customer data, not just SAP data and not just PeopleSoft data. Well, it turns out that data that's in SAP regarding customers is different than data, you know, that's in PeopleSoft. It's organized differently. It has different semantics surrounding it. And so there needs to be that reconciliation in order for an SOA to be achieved. And that's precisely the business that Informatica has been involved with, starting with its heritage in data warehousing and then going into broader data integration. It's really how do you create a value from data and turn it into an asset? And that starts with having a common semantic understanding.
Okay, so it sounds like SOA, from your perspective, actually allows Informatica to focus on some higher value components of the information architecture in driving back I guess added value compared to what we've been talking about maybe 2-3 years ago. So now you are able to essentially, if a company has a service-oriented architecture in place, you're able to go in and deliver some even more pointed value in bridging specific applications or in delivering certain types of data into new applications. Is that essentially correct?
That's correct. I think that the thing that's driving adoption of SOA is that fundamentally IT is just overwhelmed with their project backlog. And as they look at their activities, they're trying to get more and more reuse. And so what's happening is this reuse is at an application and process layer, but it's also happening at a data layer. And Informatica's roots in data warehousing have really helped cultivate this understanding of data and metadata and semantic reconciliation so that everything is consistent. And therefore, when you get consistent definitions, then you can totally abstract that access of data away from the physical systems, and therefore all of your components that are depending on data services and access to data can function in a true SOA environment.
Okay, good. And when you talk about these semantics, that certainly sounds a whole lot like the vision of master data management. And of course, we're seeing a lot more activity around MDM and in a couple specific applications like customer data integration, for example. How much traction are you seeing in this space these days in terms of how many companies are engaging in projects that we can reasonably call customer data integration? Is that getting pretty popular now?
Yes. We are seeing a tremendous amount of interest in this area. And when companies consider a master data management project, they understand that it involves, you know, a number of things. They've got to look at governance issues. They've got to look at general SOA investments they need to make. But they also understand that there is a data services layer that's needed to really underwrite the infrastructure for an MDM application. Data services might range from quality, you know, basically measuring the consistency and accuracy and completeness of data, to matching it so that you have, you know, very good relevance and correlation between data from disparate systems. And then also there might be transformation and metadata and access data services that are all key to making sure that that MDM application is viable. And as people investigate and research, you know, what it takes to implement master data management, they do readily appreciate the value of having data integration and data quality.
Okay, and speaking of data quality, of course, Informatica made an acquisition earlier this year in the data quality space. Can you talk a little bit about the strategy around that and how you're incorporating, it was Similarity Systems, I believe, how you're incorporating those assets, how is all that coming along?
Yes, it was Similarity Systems. We are very excited about the progress that we've made. When we first announced the acquisition at the beginning of the year, we had forecasted between $10 and $14 million in license revenue. And in Q2, which was our first full quarter of having Similarity under the Informatica banner, we were on plan. Following the Q3 announcement, we announced that we had accelerated and were ahead of plan. And so we're very excited about the momentum that we have in this space. We acquired Similarity because they had established thought leadership in the area of data quality. They had understood the need for businesses to relate to data quality more than just name and address cleansing. Data quality is about measuring data along very specific axes. It's about incorporating it into processes and monitoring it. And it's also about types of data like customer and products, you know, that are very specific to within, you know, the lexicon of a given company. And so having that understanding of the requirements for data quality really built up a lot of thought leadership and created a lot of demand for this type of technology.
It seems like a natural augmentation of your long-term strategy, at least as articulated by your CEO the other day, of moving beyond data warehousing. Could you maybe talk a little bit more about that strategy and, you know, what can we expect from Informatica over the next 12 months, for example?
Sure. When our CEO joined Sohaib, he very specifically said we are going to focus on data integration. And that means moving to a broader context outside of purely data warehousing. Data warehousing stays a very stable base of revenue. It's growing very, very solidly. And so we are beneficiaries of that growth. In addition to that, we're seeing that companies are looking at SOA, they're looking at reuse, and the investments that they make, you know, in one area of data integration can be applied broadly into other types of data integration contexts. How do you get to a single version of the truth unless you standardize at an enterprise level across different types of data integration projects? And so the strategy is to identify use cases. So we look at data migration as a very, very active area in which companies are investing data integration technology, master data management, which we talked about earlier. There's also data synchronization projects. And then another element, which 2 years ago I think wasn't talked about as much, but, you know, Sohaib was very keen on talking about this, is this cross-enterprise data integration. So he had foreseen when he joined the company that data integration was going to elevate in prominence when companies started to rely more and more on integrating with data that existed outside of their firewalls, outside of the enterprise boundary.
Yep. Okay. Good. In terms of pricing and the traditional per user licensing model, if you will, a lot of folks are talking now about software as a service. Of course, Salesforce.com is a very prominent ASP these days. They've done quite a bit in terms of generating a lot of market share. I mean, they're a pretty big company these days. And I remember back in 1999 or so when they were just starting out, or 2000. So it appears that the software as a service model is definitely gaining traction. How does that affect Informatica's strategy around per-user licensing, and how much of that are you seeing in terms of demand from customers? In other words, as you negotiate deals and sign contracts with folks, how much are you hearing people talk about wanting to purchase your software or your functionality in more a SaaS environment as opposed to a traditional sort of seat license model?
So Eric, as we talked about earlier, we had identified cross-enterprise, and so software as a service is a great example of cross-enterprise, the need for cross-enterprise data integration. If you subscribe to Salesforce.com or right now, the need is to, first of all, onboard yourself by moving data from existing systems onto your new software as a service system, and then afterwards, after you deploy, you need to synchronize data to automate business processes and also do analysis. So for those companies that have decided that they want to work with a software as a service vendor, we have developed connectors that allow them to do that. To your original question on the pricing, we found that companies that come on board with us, because they want to integrate with software as a service data, they want pricing that's consistent and is in line with the investment they're making with the application. And so Informatica, views this as a strategic opportunity, and we have assumed a leadership position in terms of flexible pricing and deployment and packaging to allow for that type of adoption.
Okay, good. Now, in terms of rolling out implementations, professional services, how much of a role does professional services play from Informatica's perspective, and how do you balance that arm with your consulting partners?
Yeah, that is a real important part of our business. In general, we see the market is trending to putting more value on services and total solutions. So we want to invest more in this area. And an example of us moving in this direction is we just announced a service offering for data migration. This is the Informatica Velocity migration methodology. It incorporates some prepackaged content on top of our products. It involves having experts from our Informatica Professional Services group work with companies to give them the highest amount of success, highest probability for success in migration projects. You asked about how do we balance that with our consulting partners. It's a very healthy balance for us right now. We believe that we understand our products the best. We have an expertise in data integration in general. But a consulting partner like Accenture has more trained Informatica consultants than our entire employee base. So we like that because those types of partnerships allow us to scale and meet the needs of large companies and allow us to expand our business, in a way that you wouldn't normally be able to do at a company that's 300 some million dollars in revenue.
Yep. Okay, good. Okay, and we have, we have time for one more question, and this will be, sort of a slow curveball, if you will. I've been following Informatica for a number of years, and I've been certainly following the broader business intelligence space, and, these days I even start referring to what we do is information management, because it's just getting broader and broader. You're starting to talk about unstructured data, semi-structured data. Of course, Informatica, you guys just had that acquisition of Itemfield, which looks like a very very strong company with some very powerful technology. Just from a layman's perspective, if you will, it seems like data integration has grown up now, if you will. It seems like it's not just sort of a techno thing for heavily technically minded people. It's It seems to be much more attractive these days, and from my impression at least, it seems like Informatica is really taking its game up to the next level, and I guess I'd like to hear your thoughts about that, about the maturation of the industry, and, you know, I don't know how long you've been at Informatica, but have you noticed any cultural change inside the organization? Is there a different feel to what you guys are doing and where your place is in the market?
Yes. I've been at Informatica since October of 1997, and we did start off, you know, as the Datamart company, and then we got a name that was recognized in data warehousing, and we started expanding analytics, and then Soheib came on and understood the huge opportunity in broader data integration, and this strategy to attack the broader data integration market has required Informatica to focus. And that amount of focus has really raised the amount of investment we make in terms of execution. So, you know, the cultural shift at the company is one where we, you know, we were a typical Silicon Valley startup company, and, you know, we were enamored with technology, and we produced good product. And now the company is really, you know, it's not going to sneak up on anybody anymore. It is in a large space. It's in a contested space. But we feel very confident because we've got good products, and, you know, with our management team, we are executing very well. We are growing at between 20 and 30% year over year in license, and that's unheard of in the enterprise space. So we're very proud of that. We have an appetite for success that exceeds even what we've done so far, and so the culture is shifting more and more towards execution and focus. And you know, if you hear us talk about that, that is not just, you know, something that we will relay, you know, as an answer to people's questions. This is something that if you work at Informatica, you live it every day.
Okay, that's great. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today, but a very big thank you to Mr. Ivan Chong.
Thank you, Eric.
Oh, thank you very much. He's the VP of Marketing over there at Informatica. And, folks, of course, we always encourage you to go back online to tdwy.org. We actually also encourage you to come out to Las Vegas in February. It's our biggest conference of the year, February 18th to the 23rd. We'll hope to catch up with you in Vegas, baby. Thanks again, folks, and we'll catch up to you next time. Bye-bye.